Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask you to take your seats. I declare the meeting open. We'd like to begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present. Are there any items which should be disclosed by councillors? Councillor Telfer, in relation to the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre, that item will probably be moved, I say probably be moved to towards the end of the meeting, so that might be more convenient. That was in relation to declarations of interest. I also have to say that all persons in attendance, that means everyone in the gallery, hello there, are advised that the audio of this general council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. Now, breaking the rules here, do we have anyone here from BMX? Yay. Do we have anyone here from soccer? Yay. And welcome to you and everyone else. What we're going to do is change the order of the meeting around a little bit so that we don't read out 80 pages of the audit committee deliberations before we get to the soccer and BMX items. But let me know if you're keen. We can do that. First of all, I ask for confirmation of the minutes of the 24th March council meeting to be confirmed. That's moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. There are no deputations, there are no petitions. Adjourned items. The first one is the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre. This is a confidential item, but I'm going to deal with that after. I'm sorry, we need a motion to alter the agenda to deal with that after motions without notice. Moved Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Westwood. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. So we'll deal with that later. There are no committee recommendations or workshop items to consider. We now move to corporate reports for decision. The first one appearing on page 24 of the agenda. Is state government economic reforms, but what I'm going to do is call for a couple of other items to come first. So I don't, council staff will advise me if there's any problem with dealing with sports infrastructure and then BMX at this point. So I'll call on the sports infrastructure report and recommendations, which are on page 35 of the agenda for members' benefit. So I'll just give you a moment to find the right page. And members will recall that we've been well briefed on the different options for moving ahead with sports infrastructure. In the last term of council, there were four master plans developed with substantial consultancy fees, and one of the primary goals in the first few months of this council has been to give some priority to the many possibilities of spending money in relation to new sports infrastructure. And so the report comes before us. It's fairly comprehensive. And members have already received a lot of background data in terms of the facilities we have, the cost of improving facilities, and the demand for facilities in different parts of the council area. So, I'm looking for someone to move an appropriate motion. Members will see that staff have drafted a recommendation, but it needs reference, well, ideally needs references from page 39 so that we know which projects are actually being adopted. Councillor Pfeiffer is moving. How would you like to word your motion, Councillor?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'll word it as written. In terms of the priorities, elected members will recall we've spoken about this a lot in recent times. We've spoken about priorities as well at elected members' forums. Those priorities are encapsulated on page 37, about halfway down. There's four dot points, and I'd therefore like to move that those are the four dot points that are considered based on our conversations at elected members' forums over the last few months. Those four options being options for new soccer pitches and a BMX track in the south, indoor multi-purpose stadium, 4-8 court, SA regional standard. I think that's probably specifically based around Marion Sports Club over the road. Third one is Edwardstown Oval Master Plan, and the fourth one being Mitchell Park Sports and Community Club Building Upgrade.
Just a point of order, Councillor Pfeiffer, you added in brackets something there about location of basketball, but I take it that was just a comment, not part of your motion.
Correct. That's just a comment. That's just a comment. In terms of the motion, it is the four dot points appearing halfway down page 37.
Before I allow you to elaborate, is that motion seconded, Councillor Byram? And I'll now revert to you, Councillor Pfeiffer, if you wish to say further.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have spoken a lot about this. I mean, the genesis of this probably came from very early on, even before my time on council, a couple of terms ago. But look, I mean, it really has gelled a lot in the last couple of months. We've spoken about it a lot. We've had a lot of data, a lot of evidence, a lot of user data. We've had a lot of content lead to this point that we're at here this evening. I'm moving this because this was the opinion of council at an elected members forum. In moving this also, I do have a couple of questions for the administration, if that's okay. The actual recommendation here is that we're endorsing investigations be undertaken with peak sporting bodies. For at least one of these, and the one that I'm closest to, we've got a funding body which is highly possible that we may be able to get funds out of opening up in the next couple of weeks. And I think, therefore, and I'm not sure what the wording should be, but I don't think investigations is necessarily the case. I think we should actually be putting in an application in that particular case, because if we miss out on that particular funding body, you know, we may well miss out in entirety. So,
Councillor, may I suggest that if you leave your motions, parts 1 and 2, which are to endorse investigations into those four items,
sure,
and to note that consultation plans were brought to council for consideration, and then maybe add a third point about taking advantage of potential funding opportunities at the earliest possible opportunity, or something. I'm not sure if that's too general. It's up to you. But if we add a third point, perhaps, which would satisfy your desire in that regard.
Lovely. I love it. Thank you.
Well, I'm not sure. You really have to come up with a word.
What I'd therefore move is that any funding opportunities in the meantime are actively pursued. Any opportunities in regard to those four, obviously. Thank you, Worship. I'm happy to...
just wait for that to be printed up on the screen. As they arise here, that's good. Happy with that, Councillor Pfeiffer? Did you want to have any other questions or comment?
No, look, I think that's probably about it. I'll close at the end. Thank you.
Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I support this, and as we've had very, very firm discussions on this, it is important that we go forward with these priorities for these areas. And I want to note that the soccer people are here tonight to just emphasise the fact that they are so desperate for getting further soccer pitches and infrastructure in the south, that that is very important that that be on there. And I do thank them for their attendance tonight. And the other amendments that have been made, be added on, I support all that. I'm seconding all of that. Yep.
Well, that's a very good pitch indeed. I ask whether there are any councillors speaking against the motion. You're speaking against the motion, Councillor Valescu?
I'd like to put an amendment.
Sure.
I'd actually like to put what was available on the council website today, which includes 7 points, and they include the option to upgrade the Marion Outdoor Pool, options for improvement to Morfordville and Plinger Park Sports Club, an option to improve the supply of the airport infrastructure.
Right. That I note that, Councillor, I think they appear on page 36. Is that the same 7
yes.
points?
Yes. So, seeing as that's what we put out in the public, and seeing as, for example, the Marion Outdoor Pool, we do have a master plan that has started.
Right. I'll just ask, now that we understand your amendment, I'll ask if the amendment is seconded. That's seconded, Councillor Gard. So please continue, Councillor Valescu.
Yeah, we do have a master plan available. We are working with the Morfordville Sports Club. The Plinton Sports Club is doing some things as well. They're not going to be large amounts of Plinton sports. We need to look at the options for the outdoor pool, because we will have to consider that. And obviously the issue of netball infrastructure. This is, I believe, it's the most popular sport played by women in the country. And it is lacking. So that's something we can look at as well. I don't think these are going to cost us much money initially, but I do want them to be on the radar.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other speakers for or against either the amendment or the motion? Councillor Hull?
Start with a question. 6 months ago, there was a lot of press about the very issue you raised, Mayor Hannah, about the costs of the master plans. Now, with the original motion, there's essentially two of those master plans that are not picked up as part of that first motion, which is essentially $500,000 worth of ratepayers' money embedded in those master plans that will never actually see the light of day with the original motion. Now, I'm just probably highlighting the madness of the last period of council, where we spent all this money on master plans, and now here we are considering doing nothing with half of them. Because there were 4 master plans. In fact, there were 5. There was 5 if you count the Marion Outdoor Pool. So it's actually probably $700,000 of ratepayers' money invested into master plans that won't get oxygen. So I'm flagging that as a snapshot of my concerns last council term, particularly towards the end, the last 18 months or so. And now trying to juxtaposition that alongside what we're dealing with tonight, it's not a comfortable place to be, because we're now realising that we have lifted the community expectations of those master plans with the community, whether we like it or not. There is a view out there that, you know, things were going to happen. And as I put out in the email today, now, like a rash, you have other things coming in that weren't even part of those original 5 master plans. And to make things worse, the Cove Sports Centre master plan is not being addressed at all. In fact, it's creeping up the road, which wasn't part of the master plan. Now, you know, we're talking about Major's Road here, let's face it, we're not talking about the original site of the original master plan for the Cavs Sporting Club. So we're all up.
Well, I think there was an option in the master plan.
There was
for
an option, but it wasn't
another
part,
site.
Wasn't part of the master plan for that site to go up the road. Now, we're all over the place. We're still all over the place and there's little projects. Tell me if I'm wrong, basketball was not mentioned in the last council term as a project. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but it sprung up out of the blue. And I'm quite concerned about how we're losing. Felicity would be jealous of this list, honestly. She'd be beside herself if she thought she could get away with this. But the list is growing and it concerns me, Mr. Mayor. And, you know, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And down south with the Hallett Cove situation, I actually challenged those councillors last term. I will support you to do a move now. I will give you the money right now to do something substantial down there instead of wasting the money that we are right now on an upgrade of a club room that probably is not part of the future of that club. It's nuts. And I'm struggling tonight, Mr. Mayor, to get my head around this. I am a supporter of the Marion Outdoor Pool. Make no secret of that. I didn't support the master plan for that because I had a gut full of master plans by that point, even though I was actually voted against a project that I believe in and have a lot of time for. So I am really, really perplexed and challenged by this process. It's a process that's actually getting more complicated rather than getting simpler. And we're actually we're building up even more community expectation, people here tonight, that weren't here last council term, that we're actually going to probably let down, and it worries me a lot.
Amendments. I don't know, did you ask the mover and second if they were happy to incorporate the amendment, or is that... Oh, okay.
I speak against the amendment and for the motion. We have spent a long time, a hard process to come up with four options. To turn around and water the whole thing down and go back to seven options is undoing the work that's been done in the last 5 months. I am not saying that those other projects in the amendment are not important. All of them are important to me, but particularly the Marion Outdoor Pool and the emphasis on some of the others. But if we go backwards to that amendment, we start undoing the work we've done. We are only saying in the motion that we endorse investigation. It doesn't say that we're never going to touch those projects in the future. It is just saying, let's get on with four. Let's solve those. And then as a council, we can move forward to those other important projects.
Yeah, I'm speaking against the amendment.
Just point of order, Your Worship. I don't think we voted on the amendment. So it's not clear what the debate's about.
Thank you. I'd just like to say I'm against the amendment. Pretty much probably summing up what Councillor Hall and Councillor Telfer have said, we need to concentrate on the four things highlighted in the original motion, to ask staff to start investigating a whole list of additional things. It means we're still going to be in the same position in 4 years' time without actually moving forward on any of these things. I also would like to say that Council does support the whole list of things, but we have to prioritise. We've got the information provided by staff, provided by
the Australian Bureau of Statistics to back up the sports we need to support. So let's keep it simple and keep the original motion.
Yes, Your Worship, I was uncomfortable with completely excluding all other options as far as the amendment, as far as the motion was concerned. I think the motion in itself is sound but incomplete, so I suppose that's a contradiction. My biggest concern was that there is an undeniable lack of netball throughout the council. I was very surprised it didn't receive more prominence in our vote some time back. The point is that there's an oversupply of tennis and an undersupply of netball, and therefore there's the opportunity for a certain amount of smoothing out in the first instance. So I would certainly like to see netball, which is completely underdone and is a very well participated sport, to come onto that list. I think that to leave netball out is a grave oversight considering how badly underdone it is throughout the council. And so really it's a matter of procedure, I guess. I'm not necessarily saying that all of the amendment items are of equal weight or even challenging the weight of the first four items in the original motion, but I'm certainly saying that netball is. So I think to overlook netball, given the data that, that management has put up to us, would be a grievous oversight.
I'm glad you allowed me to do this because it would have gone further. I have a very important question. Say, for example, the amendment fails. With those other projects, particularly ones that are actually still in development, like the master plan for the swimming pool is not even finished yet, will there be an opportunity for any of those other projects, if a benefactor, a local MP, suddenly gets the urge to find money for it out of the blue, is there a chance to resurrect any of those on the basis of the opportunities available at the time?
Through the chair, council always has the discretion to do that if you so choose. Absolutely, if opportunities present in the future that may be strategically aligned to one of the other aspirations, then of course council can choose to pursue that actively if you want.
So council's currently working with one of the two sports clubs in point six. So does that stop if the amendment fails? Because there was a motion before for actually Morfordville to be, I guess, to have that council working with them, because that wasn't happening before. So if this motion failed, does that mean that council will now pull out from working with Morfordville Sports Club to some of the goals that was a motion, I think, in August or September last year? The amendment failed.
Thank you, through the chair. Certainly we do have a current resolution that we need to continue to progress. That current resolution is about taking a case management approach and working with Morfordville and Plimpton Sports Club. So that body of work will progress. If I guess that body of work became a major body of work that then needed to be prioritised as part of Council's budget process, that would need to come through that process.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what sort of scope we're talking about before that happens. Is there an indication there?
I'm not across what the current body of work is that's actually occurring with the Morfordville and Plimpton Park Sports Clubs, so I can't advise on that question.
I guess one more question, if I can. Why are there 7 points on the public one and 3 on the one that's only available on the extranet? Because why on version 2 is there...
So, Council, on page 36, you have your 7 points. On page 37, you have your 4 points. And it explains that there was further discussion and that those 4 points have been highlighted. So it's not an exclusionary thing, but they were highlighted, or if you like, prioritised in discussion, but that is the very question for decision tonight. They're both in the same report, in other words. So I'm advised by staff that what is out publicly is the same as this report in front of us, and it does have both the 7 and the 4. The other comment that I would make is that the original motion that's been moved talks about endorsing investigations, bringing back a consultation process, and taking advantage of funding opportunities in respect of the 4. There's nothing there to actually cut out any work that's being done in respect of any other sport. Councillor Pfeiffer, do you have a question?
Procedural, Your Worship. Yes. Are points 2 and 3 under the amendment as well?
Yes. So, now, this raises a point where I have some difference with staff on interpretation. In my view, the amendment should be the dot points which differentiate the amendment from the original motion. It's not necessarily the whole thing. So the amendment, if it's passed, makes the original motion look different. If it's not passed, we are simply left with the original motion. That's how I see it. So the amendment, if you like, is just to the dot points, but keeps the 1, 2 and 3, which Councillor Pfeiffer moved as part of his original motion. Hope I'm not losing people there. Any other speakers? There being no other... Councillor Valesco, I'll let you briefly close on your amendment before I invite Councillor Pfeiffer to speak again.
I understand where people lie on this, that's fine, I hope. I guess one thing I would like to mention, and the ABS statistics were mentioned, but I think that the condition and playability of some of our facilities has not been given adequate recommendation. I guess one thing is we can have a community facility that we say we open for people to use, but there are impediments in that facility, which means they're not actually going to use it, which actually means it's not available. But we can say, well, we've got this facility available. That consideration wasn't given. And I think that some of the things like tennis courts, you know, we've got lots of tennis courts, but a lot of them aren't used or accessible or open. So, you know, that needs to be considered. You know, we do have... I think we really need to get more sound information, more detailed information about the nature of our assets, because just like people from the south are being turned away when they're trying to join the soccer clubs and things like that, other people in other parts of our city are still being turned away because the facilities that are there are not appropriate. The only difference is we can identify there is not a facility available, not enough facilities, but we're not identifying that there aren't enough facilities because they're not up to scratch. So I think that's something I wanted to mention. Hopefully, regardless if members don't choose to support the amendment, I hope we can look at supporting those other items, including others, in the near future.
Actually, I'll leave it. That's fine.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I must say that with a lot of the things that I've had to deal with since I've been on council, it's very easy to get embedded down in problems and complaints, and to have something come to me that has been a very exciting project to be involved with and is very much looking positively to the future for our community. I knew very little about BMX other than that there's a bike, you ride it, and we've had some good results in international events. But I've now learnt a heck of a lot about the subject, and they're even telling me that I'm starting to talk the lingo. I want to recognise people in the gallery from the BMX clubs, and particularly to note their enthusiasm and dedication. It's been a privilege working with you all. It's a sport that is very family-oriented, and the atmosphere at the race meetings is electric. Families put their marquees up and everyone is interacting. The UCI states that this sport is to have no smoking and no alcohol. So we're not looking at a site that is going to be a big clubhouse facility. We are just looking at a site that is family friendly and allows for proper racing track facilities. The current track at Cove Sports is very limited. It can't increase in size, we've already talked about this, and it doesn't cater for state, national or international riding experience of our riders. We have two young riders, we have three actually here today, but I want to particularly introduce to you all Raina Ainsbury, who is 11. Stand up, Raina. And, sorry, Joel's just stepped outside, but Raina is currently number 6 in the world competitions for her age group. And she is going to nationals in Queensland in a couple of weeks' time, and next month she goes to Belgium to compete in the world competition. Yeah. And we wish her well with all of that. Joel has just stepped out, but Joel is our current 10-year-old boys' national champion. They're both competing, as I said, in nationals next in the next couple of weeks. And we're not sure whether Joel's going to go to the internationals. Here's Joel now. So, yes, as I said, he's the year 10 national champ. We have great local talent in the BMX field, and it's great to see all the talent that has been there. But we have lost talent also. The families are recognising that their kids have ability, and they are having to move to Queensland because we don't have the facilities here in South Australia. Now, I know that Joel's family and David's here tonight, Joel's father, they are in the process of thinking about moving within the next 2 years to Queensland because there are not the facilities here for Joel to continue with this sport. Time's up. Ian. Exactly. That's why I wanted them recognised.
Okay, just to finish off in support of this motion, Cove BMX currently has 168 members. We're currently engaging in a quite expensive harmonisation program because of the limited size and the unsatisfactory location. At the moment, that harmonisation program could cost around $40,000 this year, and that's just to deal with the complaints from local residents. If we can complete a brand new track which meets all the new international guidelines, we can actually locate a space where we can actually have international and state championships in a location where the noise won't compromise the ongoing use of that site, and also where safety can be assured. If we can get to a new site, I believe that it will not only be beneficial for the family-orientated BMX community, but will also bring significant amount of business and possible other benefits to Marion. I know figures of around 8 million business generated from the nationals when they're held in Queensland, and I believe that Marion should look at the opportunity of making those type of funds for our business community.
I note that the motion calls for council to support the Hallett Cove BMX to lodge its application. Is there anyone speaking against the motion? Question from Councillor Hull.
In the report, it doesn't mention any cost to the council. Is there any, both now or into the future?
Thank you, Your Worship. This actual grant application to the Office of Sport and Rec is going to be in the vicinity of $50,000, of which $2,000 is coming from each of the two BMX clubs, that's Cove and Happy Valley BMX. I'll be putting $2,000 up each. And Cove BMX has put in a community grant to Marion Council for $5,000 to help them with funding for that particular grant application. The rest of the money will be asked for from the Office of Sport and Rec. We are not actually, as a council, asking to put any money up, apart from the community grant application will go through eventually, hopefully. But we are putting up in-kind help with the application of the grant. We're not actually putting any money up this year. This application is for the planning for the facility. The timeline will be that the planning will start in about August through to the end of this year. Next year there'll be a grant application for a stage three through the Office of Sport and Rec, and that's when we will have to look at providing some funding and in-kind support next year.
The supplementary question is that, I'll speak in positive terms, once the BMX track is relocated to its rightful place, along with everything else from the Cove Sports Club, the portion of land that is currently used by the BMX club, which is in conflict with the neighbours, I understand, is there potential for sale of that land to reinvest into the appropriate relocation of the Hallett Cove Sporting Club to a much better place?
Possibility of sale, but rather it might be a better question to ask what is the club's intention with that land if in fact BMX was relocated. Would that help you, Councillor Hull?
Would. I've already asked questions, Mr Mayor, that and I'm told that it's too small to use as a soccer pitch and rah, 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 it is an area that has caused problems with neighbours already. It's an area that has the potential to launch soccer balls, cricket balls and whatever else onto people's roofs and into their yards quite readily. I just see the site's problematic for sport, and I just wonder whether there is any possibility as part of the repatriation of the Cove Sports Club to a better place that a sale of that land could be considered.
Well, again, I'd turn to Councillor Byram and ask her to offer any views that have been expressed about what might happen to that land, whether it's hers or the Cove Club's or anyone's.
Interesting comment, Your Honour. Yes, so the comments that have been made about what to happen with the land is we really see at this stage, with just BMX moving out, that it's ideally a buffer zone between the clubs and the residents because of the problems that have existed. It's not really seen as suitable for putting soccer in there at this stage, and we are moving forward with looking at other alternatives for soccer. Ultimately, down the track, sale, yes, but you couldn't sell off just a small section like the BMX. One, I don't think there's value in that. I think we've got to look at the big issue of all of the land for the sale, but eventually down the track, yes.
This is actually support of the motion. I support this. It's consistent, Mr. Mayor, with my enduring view that there should be one sporting club in the north, one in the south. I've been consistent with that for months. And that's where I was coming from by voting against both those previous motions, but I'm happy to support this one. $5,000 community grant is small beans, really, in the scale of things, and will provide benefit not only to the residents but also to the future champions in the BMX league. So I'm happy to support it.
Yeah, thank you, Worship. I think my first question's been fairly well answered in regards to the existing site, but it sounds like there could be potential future costs to council in remediating the site, but we're nowhere near that phase yet, from what I can tell. Just one other question. In all of this, has ad hoc BMX track use been considered at all? Because and my reason for asking it is because I was a 12-year-old kid once. I was never a member of a BMX club, but I used to go around and thrash around on Happy Valley BMX Club a lot, and usually get very, very scared when I went over jumps and fall off. But look, it is a community use as well. And I just want to know, because Majors Road's a long way from the suburbs, and it's a long way for a 12-year-old kid who's not part of the club to just jump on their treadley and cruise on up there and you know do some sick jumps and then go home again. And so I just want to know that has that actually been considered in any of this at any point?
Yes, I can answer that one as well. Thank you, Your Worship. Very interestingly, on the day that we briefed the Minister for Sports and Rec, he did ask whether council would be keeping the BMX track open to be a public track. And I did explain to him that with the problems with the neighbours that we didn't see that as a possibility for the Cove Sports Centre to keep that track open for just the public. It's got too many problems with the general housing around there. The new site, Majors Road, with having an 8-metre and a 5-metre starting gate, there are things to consider there in the security of those if it was to be a public site. So there's a problem there with looking at it as a public site. We need to just look at whether we've got smaller areas that perhaps could be a reserve perhaps down the track that can be for public. But we can look at that generally down the track.
Wouldn't be too worried about that. Now, I haven't heard of any speakers against the motion, but Councillor Valescu, did you have a question?
My question is, what are we looking at for the next bit? What sort of figures are we looking at? And it's not because I personally think it shouldn't happen. I think it should happen. I think it's about preparation, so we don't get to the stage in court by surprise.
Yes, Your Worship. Okay, we can only give indicative costs at this stage because the study hasn't been done, which is going to be this first stage. So I can only give rough estimates of costs. The indications we have is the actual track will cost in the vicinity of $200,000 to $250,000 to lay that down. The two starting gates, they're of around about $150,000 each. So that's just some indicative costs of what's going to be with the track. Of course, on top of that, you've got your infrastructure of water, sewerage, electricity. Now, we have just found out some information that there is water running through the site, the electricity is running through the site, telephone network lines are all running there. We're not sure about sewerage at this stage. So they are going to be the bigger costs, is dealing with that infrastructure. The other things that need to be considered are, of course, your admin areas, your observation, your spectators viewing, your first aid, and your canteen. They're more like sheds, shelters. It's not big building structures that we're talking about. We've been talking about it being in the vicinity of $1.5 million, but I wouldn't like to state that that's the actual amount until we get the study in. But we're not talking about millions and millions here. It is going to be a cheaper investment between all the people that are interested in the site and are moving to the site. And so it's not going to be an expensive job for us to get this relocation done like it will be with a lot of other sports.
Yeah, look, I guess a couple of things. When we, when you have a national facility of this level, I know in other sports it actually promotes smaller facilities, like facilities. So if you've got a big swimming pool, you need other swimming pools around it, which actually increase interest in the sport. So maybe once this is built, we can look at, you know, the ad hoc type BMX areas, because I think we will be a bit of a hub. The southern area, our council and Onkaparinga will be a bit of a hub for BMX, and it's great because you want to get people out, you want to get the kids out there taking some of those risks, because you know they don't learn the same things just stuck in front of the computer. You know, like maybe able to do the tricks on the computer, but getting out and actually doing it and being physical and getting the positive self-esteem through that achievement and just having fun and interacting, I think it's a positive thing. As far as the finance goes, if Councillor Crossland is correct with $140,000 a year on site mitigation, that will let us borrow almost but you know, if we were to get, sorry, $40,000. So that is over 10 years, that's $400,000 or just under that we could borrow. So with that money, if it's $40,000 for harmonisation every year. So that's, and that's, so there is a capacity there to fund some of it based on what we're contributing already towards BMX. So yeah, so I support it, and I'm glad that you know, the good work that everyone involved has done in this happening.
Yeah, sorry, just in case I caused some confusion, the 40,000 harmonisation was probably a one-off, so I wouldn't like to think people were voting on saving 40,000 every year. Now, I just wanted to tell Councillor Gillescu that there's another occupation these kids could take an interest in. That is, they want to take risks and be part of a, you know, a bigger game. They could run for council.
I think it's probably safer on the BMX track, to be honest. But... just very briefly, Your Worship, I think this is a good initiative. I think this conversation needs to be had, and hopefully we get to a point that some common sense principles can be applied.
I believe we need to be part of this debate rather than ignoring it.
Apart from what's written in the report, given that Marion Council has, how many major shopping centres? Four? One big one and some others. Is there any particular issue that we should be interested in? Because we are, I guess in urban Adelaide, we are a significant stakeholder in this debate. Is there anything in here
that we should be concerned about. And if I can lead a bit, Mr. Mayor, the last council had a significant grievance with the state government about allowing paid car parking for our shopping centre. So that's where I'm going with my questioning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, through the Chair. The Mayor is correct. This is much broader than matters to do with paid parking or of that ilk. Certainly, as Councillors Hutchinson and Telfer have recognised, that the importance of our participation in this conversation is there, and particularly given that we do have some major shopping centres in our area and the economic development that the shopping centres actually bring to the region. So I think from a broad cross-section perspective, our participation in the conversation is very important. We do have our planning staff in the gallery at the moment. I don't believe that there is anything further or specific to add to that, and I'm getting nods from the gallery, but our participation in the broad conversation is important.
Just a question as at the end. I won't bother closing then. I'll use it as a question. In terms of council's input, will this be coming to the STC?
Yes, we can certainly arrange for this to come to the Strategic Directions Committee. It's the role of the committee to actually provide input in terms of development plan amendments, so it is certainly the forum to discuss this matter on.
A bit about the Marion Outdoor Pool. I'd like to use option A. It is basically that it does remain on the list. Obviously, it's not something that's going to happen straight away. And as we have decided, even though I didn't support it, the non-amended version, I'm happy to look at option one, or the first part of it. So we are looking at other aspects of it. I'm sure as the other bits come to light, we'll be looking at them. I think there are things we do need to look at. I know there's still some issues that have happened down at Glade Crescent. Looking at some of our dog parks and other bits and pieces. I think maybe there are some very nice to have strategic concepts, things like the biophilic laneways. But, you know, I think that's something that can be done perhaps through some of the community initiatives at a local level. That's something that the community can actually take ownership of. It doesn't have to come through us or sort of, you know, spend our time on that when we can be looking at something a little bit more strategic. So that's what I'd like to put through. One thing I don't want to see is the square at Oakland's Park, the one here at the shopping centre, the plaza, not the one at the wetlands, this one here. So that can be removed. Doesn't come to light. That's not something that I'd like to see continue. Oh, maybe I can get some clarification where that's at, because that, because we have the reserve and play space, but maybe some clarification, that'd be great. Yes, please.
Thank you, through the Chair. The Marion Cultural Centre Plaza Master Plan is sitting just in the Master Plan stage, and Council resolved for us to consider, for administration to consider any funding options to pursue that plan, and that has not progressed beyond that stage.
I guess I'd like that to be basically just to stop all action on that. I'd rather us reallocate our resources to other projects. I think there's things that everyone would like in priority to that that perhaps even haven't even been looked at. I think that's the icing on the cake.
Thank you, through the Chair. The situation is that there are no resources allocated to progressing the MCC Plaza master plan any further. So the master plan the previous council endorsed, and if council chooses not to do anything further, it'll just sit there. Not dissimilar to Councillor Valeski, you mentioned before about what would happen to the other items on the list. Would they vanish? No, they can be brought back into more detailed consideration in the future if Council so chooses. So there are no resources allocated to progressing that master plan any further. There's no Council resolution to support that. And it'll just sit there effectively if Council doesn't want to progress it further.
If it is the case and it is going to sit there, I'm happy to remove that and we can have that other discussion in the fullness of time. That's fine. and agree with one aspect, they can always say so. And I just think that, you know, this is the only community facility that is actually that provides us income to offset the cost. The libraries, there's a whole lot of other things that don't provide us income to offset the cost, and it's a facility that we've started to put some new life into, and I think we need to continue on. So, you know, we've supported outdoor sports already tonight, and I think we should continue with that theme.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. Option one in terms of the four sports master plan infrastructures, that infrastructure was to remove the four sports master plan and replace those listed items on the unfunded, unprioritised items list with those items that were deemed priorities as resolved by council this evening, so that the sports infrastructure would remain on the list and be considered in respect of all the other unfunded items. Option two, in comparison, is to remove the sports infrastructure from the list entirely and deal with it in a parallel process, representing that council has resolved those items to be the highest priority of the entire list and would like them to be pursued as the highest priority.
We've talked about the four dot points in the motion already decided tonight, but there were the three other dot points that Councillor Vlasescu was trying to bring in with his amendment, so in Morfordville, netball and the pool. Now, if what would happen to those on the list of unfunded capital projects, whether option one or option two were adopted? Ms Harvey.
Thank you. Currently, the Marion Outdoor Pool Master Plan is on the list, so it could remain on the list for Council to consider further in terms of its entire list of priorities. The other sports infrastructure initiatives aren't represented on the list, but if Council should resolve to do so, we could add them to the list and be considered through the briefing session with the other unfunded items.
So given that we've identified four sports infrastructure projects, and they're going to be taken off the list in either option? No?
No, they can be left on the list to be considered with all the other items so that they could then be considered in relation to the MCC Plaza or the Oakland's wetlands or the walking and cycling strategy in terms of their priority, or they could be removed from the list, the items that were resolved.
This is the four preferred sports infrastructure projects.
That's right.
So that's the option one, option two. Leave them in the list so that we've got a full list of 17 or so new or capital, unfunded capital works, or take those four items, or take those four items out, say we're definitely going to work on those and pursue those actively, and we look at the rest of the list separately when we come to a future forum and prioritise that ultimately at a council meeting. So it's a question of whether our four favoured sports infrastructure projects are kept in the list with everything else, or whether they're taken out and given a special treatment in a sense. All right, we're getting there now. I beg your pardon, but I think it needed clarification. Questions? Councillor Byron?
Yes, I have a question. Thank you. So if we take those four off the list, because the motion that we had earlier is just to keep researching them, we haven't decided to actually do what we are doing with those. So if we take them off the list and don't leave them there when we're considering everything else, are we in danger then of them not being prioritised with the work that's actually needed?
We would have, in effect, that option would give us two unfunded capital works lists. One is for favoured sports infrastructure projects plus everything else. The other is to just keep them all together. So they're the two options we're talking about with option one and two. But they're all still unfunded. It's just that we're separating out two unfunded lists because we want to focus on those items, if indeed we do. Other questions, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, what stage can I put up an alternative motion just to simplify it, and let's just vote on option one, option two first?
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
That's what I'd like to do. That's what I've been trying to do. I don't know at what point I can do that.
I don't understand your point four there. I'm not sure what you mean by that. All right. Well, we're still in a state of confusion. What I would suggest to resolve this, take Councillor Crossland's point on board, is that Councillor Blescu, because you were particularly focused on the pool, let's just deal with the pool issue, so that if we look at the wording presented in paragraph 2 of the recommendations by staff, it would read, subject to the determination of the priority of sport infrastructure as presented in GC 140415R02, and then skip the middle bit. Okay. So just council adopts option whichever to progress the Marion Outdoor Pool master planning. Is that really the best way of expressing it?
Here on the impact, I think there's the issue of degrees as far as the master plans go for the four sites.
Now let's just talk about the pool.
Yeah, so getting to that, I'm happy that we put the pool option A or B. I'm putting A. I guess if people vote no, then it'll be B. Let's put that out there, so at least we can decide on something, whether I agree with the decision or not.
The trouble is that we need appropriate wording to give effect to either A or B. Remains on the list. Right. I think that in... thank you, Ms. Jarrett. I think that does give effect to option A. I note that neither of the options, so here's another question from the Mayor to Ms. Harvey, neither of the questions resolve the issue of the current work being done by the aptly named Treadwell Management in examining the future of the pool. So, Ms. Harvey, just before we go further, can you tell us about the contractual obligations? I mean, why don't we know whether they can be deferred or whether they have to continue with their work? All right, Ms. Dixon is going to respond to that query. Thank you.
Through the chair, so Treadwell have been engaged for the full works, which was delivering a final master plan for council's consideration. We're currently in stage four, so they've done the community engagement with various stakeholders, including elected members, so are in the process of developing concept designs based on that. So if council was to resolve to cease that, we would need to seek some advice on that in terms of what that would come back to council in terms of financial penalties to break that contract. We'd have to get some advice.
Right, so I asked that question of staff, what, probably about a week ago, but we don't have that advice. Okay. All right, well, let's just get back to option A and option B. We don't know what it means in terms of the contract with Treadwell, but at least it'll be clear whether the pool remains on the list or not on the list. Presumably, not on the list gives it a lower priority.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Mr. Mayor, if the Honourable Councillor hasn't got his motion in order before the meeting, then we should not be wasting our time tonight dragging ourselves through this.
Councillor, let me just hear the point of order.
Saying, if the motion is not ready, if he hasn't got his motion ready, we should not be sitting here enduring this nonsense.
No, well, that's actually not a point of order. You're making a criticism
of the mover. Well, there's no seconder.
There's
no seconder, Mr. Mayor. Why are we doing
no,
here?
No, you're becoming out of order now, Councillor Hull. Are you happy to just leave it there, Councillor Valescu, in terms of those comments? We'll just move on, I hope. Councillor Crossland?
Question, why are we voting on it when we don't know the implications of the vote? I'd ask that this motion be deferred completely.
Well, that's a procedural motion, so that it be deferred. Do you wish to put a date in the motion? That motion, is it 28th of April or some other date?
Yeah, the staff can have that information for the next council meeting, then we'll put it back to the 28th of April.
Is that realistic, Ms. Dixon? We're talking about postponing it, but for how long to get advice on the implications of the contract with Treadwell? No, sorry, we've got a procedural motion that we're dealing with.
Through the chair, we can make those inquiries and seek some advice and bring it back to the 28th.
So, Councillor Crossland, you're moving that it be deferred to the 28th of April. That's seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. There's no debate. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. Division. All those in favour, please stand in your place. This is for the deferral of this item to 28th of April. In favour are Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Byram, Gard and Crossland. All those against, please stand. Councillor Valescu and Councillor Appleby, the motion is carried. We'll move on to the next item of business. The update to the schedule of delegations on page 56 of the agenda. Right. Members, you've had a chance to look at the suggested delegations. Perhaps I could ask... No, I don't think we need a briefing. It's all pretty well set out there. Let's start off with questions before we get to a motion, if we ever do get to a motion. Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, as I see it, my enduring issue with this administration, and for that matter the DAP, the use of delegated authority in this case for using the levity of not at significant variance, I think is picked up in here. And I'm not going to vote for that. I want to take away the powers of the administration to exercise not at significant variance. I'm doing it on behalf of my community. I feel very strongly about it.
Councillor, that's not a question. You are debating.
So if
we get to that, then unless you're going to move the motion, or are you going to move in the negative?
I just want to be reassured that what I've just said is in fact related to this motion.
Well,
my concerns.
Councillor, either you move the motion worded in the negative to not adopt the proposed delegation, or you leave it for debate, speak against it, and try and ensure that the motion's lost.
I would prefer to see this come back to us from the administration.
Are you moving a motion or not?
Well, I'd like to know what the consequences are, and maybe.
If you're not moving a motion, I'll leave it to someone else.
Well, a procedural motion then, that we actually defer this one as well.
Yep.
Until we actually have some information along the lines that I'm looking for.
Right.
About what the consequences are for not supporting this, because, you know, I'm always aware that by taking powers away from staff, it could come back to bite us.
So what? It's not for debate. You're moving that it be adjourned to what date?
The same date as the
28th of April?
Yeah.
Is that seconded?
Yep.
Seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. Keep your hand up, please. I count 6 affirmative. All those against, please raise your hand. That is carried. Beg your pardon? Division. All those in favour, please stand in your place for the adjournment of this item. Councillor Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Byram, Gard and Crossland, please sit down. All those against the adjournment, please stand in your place. Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Valescu and Appleby, thanks, please sit down. I declare the motion carried. The motion's adjourned. We move on to the next item of business. 6-5. Graffiti removal. Page 59 of your agenda, members. This might be more up our alley. Councillors, anyone moving? Councillor Gard, moving as the report as printed, the recommendations as printed. Yes. You're moving, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? Yes, Councillor Gard, you may speak. 3 minutes.
Probably won't need 3 minutes, but I am just concerned at the amount that we are spending per annum and expanding, although graffiti is contracting to some extent. I just wonder whether there's more that we can do to bring, for instance, retirees, volunteers into the picture on this matter, and that opens up the idea in general for that sort of activity where there is relatively unskilled work available. It's not something that I've dwelt on in the past, but it just occurred to me in reading this item that there could be an opportunity, depending on the nature of the beast, if it's just a painting of a fence versus if it's some sort of special surface that needs to be treated, etc., etc. So just adding that thought, but of course no change to any motion.
Councillor Gard, I do note that the report recognises our council's 78 graffiti volunteers, and I salute them. I'm sure we all do. Okay. Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak?
Just a question, if I may. Just the one puzzling thing is that I see that the numbers of graffiti incidents has dropped by roughly a quarter. across the board, yet our forecast costs are going up fairly considerably. I just wondered why that was.
Councillor, I'll need to take that on notice.
No, just to support our volunteers. Look, this is a really great, valuable program. The removal of graffiti is really the number one preventative measure. And I'd just like to see those partnerships with our stakeholders actually improve, BIPTI and ETSA. I think that's probably where our priorities should be. Thank you.
The part of respect, so-called art and respect component of this, what is the cost associated with that?
Through the chair, it's as stated in your report, councillor, $6,000 per annum, and it's really partnering with troubled youth who may potentially already be involved in doing graffiti, for want of a better word, and working with them to try and head them down an appropriate path where they can do it in a more constructive way. That's going to be beneficial.
Just a question, Your Worship, one for Mr. Mifsud through you. Our 78 volunteers, amazing, incredible people, absolutely phenomenal guys. what's the actual what's the dollar value of the service that they actually provide to us on an annual basis? Given that we only spend, $260,000 a year, what's the dollar value of their service?
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. That's an excellent question. We'll need to take that on notice for you and get that information for you.
It should really be seen as a preventative measure, and I think that, you can have some youths, and I know for the Neighbourhood Watch program, the police officer said there was one youth that was responsible for $100,000 of the damage in a short period of time. So I guess, if you can prevent some people being lured into the vandalism through perhaps, channeling what they see as artistic into an acceptable canvas, then I think that has benefit. But I guess, I would like to see that it is targeted, because the community sometimes feels that, they need to understand that it's a preventative measure to save money as opposed to spending money.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that, Your Worship. I had the privilege of having a look at the Art of Respect under the tram overpass at South Road, which Council initiated at the beginning of the last term. That piece of artwork cost Council $8,000 to be instated. Since that time, graffiti has increased substantially in that vicinity, and certainly even the art itself has had additional features painted onto the tram that's painted there, and the message is paint trams. So I think it's a waste of money. I think we should put it all into cleanup. Cleanup is the best method in my mind, and passive surveillance and CCTV. Yeah, I am, but I would consider moving an amendment, but I don't think I've got the support in the chamber, so I'm not going to bother.